Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Great to be able to have you with us today. We've got you for the full 2 hours tonight, taking you all the way until 8 o'clock this evening. We've got a couple guests who are scheduled to be on the program coming up in just about 20 minutes or so. We're going to talk with Stu Durando, covers the Billikens on his Substack, of course, longtime Post-Dispatch STL Today guy. And then also later on this hour, we're going to talk with Hockey Amy, our own Amy Markscores. This is what we're going to do every Tuesday. So we've got this worked out now with Amy, where we're going to talk Blues hockey with her on every single Tuesday, unless something happens to pop up. And for those of you who don't know, Amy, in addition to hosting the Chris and Amy show, came up covering the Blues, does some TV work with Matrix Midwest, doing a Blues show with Chris Kerber. So she certainly is legit when it comes to all things hockey, and we're lucky that we're going to be able to talk to her on an every week basis. Pretty good night last night when we look at what happened sports-wise in the area. College basketball, SLU was able to get a win. Mizzou got a win. Illinois got a win, so that was good to see. The Blues won, so first and foremost, that's the most important thing. The Blues won. And it didn't really matter how it happened that the Blues won. It just, the fact that they won was the most important thing. But when we get into it a little bit and look at what happened, they're down 2-0 in the second period, fairly late in the second period. And it just kind of looks like it's going to be more of the same. And the Blues go on a power play, and Dalibor Dvorsky goes and gets himself open on the right wing, takes a pass, and just rifles a shot into the net. All of a sudden, it's a 2-1 game. That was impressive by Dvorsky. Everybody's talked so much about a shot. Well, we saw how, the kind of weapon it can be. And then a few moments later, Robert Thomas kind of got lucky, if we're being honest about it, as he had an angle that was kind of behind the net and basically caromed off back into the net. But that counts. A goal is a goal. And just like after being down 2-0 until about 4 or so minutes left in the second period, they scored 2 quick goals, and it just something changed. When Dvorsky scored that goal, something changed with this team in the moment. Not that, you know, sometimes we use terms like, oh, they were going through the motions, or like that's not what was happening. I'm not saying that they weren't putting an effort out. I'm not saying the energy wasn't there, but I am saying that when Dvorsky scored that goal, it uplifted everybody, it seemed like. And then they kind of got lucky with the Thomas goal. And then they go into the third period and play a scoreless third for most of the time until late Pugh Suter was able to score, and the Blues get the 3-2 win. That was an important win, and now the next thing is building upon that win and trying to go on some type of run. Go win 3-4 games in a row. Go win 5 out of 7. Go win 8 out of 11. You know, something like that. Go on a run like that, and you're going to be fine. Kevin Wheeler and I were talking about this yesterday on the Gas House Gang, because Kevin said essentially that the Blues are digging themselves a hole, which from like a dictionary definition standpoint, yeah, they were building themselves a hole. But when you really take a step back and look at where the Blues are at, even sitting, and this was true yesterday, it's not true today, because yesterday at this time the Blues had 8 points, as do the Calgary Flames, which was tied for the least amount of points in the NHL this year. Now, with yesterday's win, they have moved past the Flames, who did not play yesterday. But even with the Blues having the least amount of points, being the last place team or tied for last place in the NHL, they were still only 6 points out of a playoff spot. Now, they had a ton of teams that were between them and a playoff spot. That was the bigger thing than the points. But if you go on a little bit of a run, you know what's going to happen? You're going to see a lot of those teams. And if you can be winning more games than you're losing, well, then you are going to have many opportunities to go beat teams that are in front of you in the standings, because when you have the worst record or have the fewest points in the NHL, everybody's in front of you. So I was never worried about their ability. Like, I don't think they're going to have to go on this incredible run to be a postseason club. If they just start playing better hockey, everything else is going to take care of itself, and they're going to slowly climb up that ladder. With the win yesterday, they're now 5 points out of a playoff spot. Again, a ton of teams between them and the playoffs. The Edmonton Oilers right now are the final team holding a playoff spot in the West. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams between that and the Blues. But we don't need to be worried about on November 4th about them being buried. They're not buried. They're fine in that area as long as they can start playing better hockey. And it's just one game. It's just one game. It's just one win. It doesn't mean much of anything unless it's the start of something. So in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, let's look at where this team is at. And if they go back to losing more than they're winning, then yesterday's win is just a ho-hum. Okay, they got to win. You're not going to lose them all. But if yesterday can be the start of something, and they did play better. They did play better in their 2 games leading up to yesterday. They played better against Vancouver, a shootout loss, and they played better against Columbus, a 3-2 loss. So it feels like they've been ramping in the right direction. The question right now, and I don't have an answer, so if you're looking for an answer, I don't have it for you. The question, though, that I'm waiting for the answer is, will that ramp continue? Is this team going to continue to get better and better and eventually kind of assimilate into being the team that we more expected them to be coming into the season? You want to join us today? You can do so, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well, at Matt Pauly on air. For those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment in the chat. We'll take a look at those as we go along through the program as well. Up next, we'll talk with Stu Durando. He covers Billiken's basketball for his Substack, and we'll get his thoughts on what we saw out of the Bills last night. That is up next. We roll on. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Listen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You're locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Last night, as you heard here on KMOX, SLU basketball got its season officially started, and they knock off Southeast Missouri by a 92-67 score. It was a 9-point game at halftime, 44-35, before SLU really put it together in the second half, outscoring them 48-32. Stu Durando has covered the team for a long time, now does it on his Substack, which is stuonslu.substack.com, and he joins us right now. Stu, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, good, Matt. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
yes.
it.
So it didn't always look like the cleanest basketball, but it's not supposed to look that way on your first game of the year. Overall, did you feel like it was a good night last night for the Billikens?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of complaints afterward about what they didn't do well and how they need to improve a lot of different areas, and they still won by 25 points. So I think all in all, they walk away from it feeling pretty good. I'd say it was kind of a similar refrain after the Bradley exhibition game. I mean, they won that game by 21, and all Schertz did was talk about how they, had to do things better. So I think they're really focusing on, improving things during this early part of the season when they've got teams that they should beat pretty handily.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you've got kind of a team that's a little bit more established and when you've got a team that's got some expectations attached to it, isn't that the way to do it? Schedule some games that you feel good about and then go find the stuff that you don't do so well at and try to fix it?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have liked to have had some tougher opponents all in all in the non-conference season that just didn't pan out. But yeah, the way it shakes out, I think it's pretty good for them. You know, it's you've got a lot of players who have played Division I basketball. They just haven't played together. So now they're trying to figure out how to play together against different opponents as opposed to playing against themselves in practice for the last couple of months. So, yeah, there's some things, you know, that were definitely ragged about it, you know, turnovers and a lot of fouling and things along those lines. But then you still walk away with 92 points and you hold the opponent to 67. Those are good numbers.
That's kind of the way things now are now in college basketball, whether it's SLU or anybody else. Part of a coach's job is not about there's not going to be a lot of continuity from one year to the next. You got to be able to bring in each year a bunch of guys who probably haven't played together because of the transfer portal and everything else, and bring them together. So that's just kind of part of it now.
Yeah, it's just so weird. I mean, it's like constant turnover. You know, I don't know if it's going to be as much moving forward as it has been the last 2 years. You know, because these are two completely different teams in Schertz's first two seasons. And now the focus is on, you know, can you, did you build a really good team like you think you did, have a good season, and then retain all or most of these players? And that's really what they want to do, is they don't want to have to rebuild every year. They'd like to keep these guys around and kind of, you know, start building the program.
We are talking with Stu Durando, covers SLU on his own Substack, which is stuonslu.substack.com. From a statistical standpoint, the two guys that really jump out with what they did, and they each had double-doubles, Robbie Avila had 18 points and 11 rebounds, and then Deion Brown has 11 points and 11 rebounds. What did you think of the production that they got from those two players?
Yeah, so what, with Avila, a couple of things that were really good to see. You know, numbers were good there, but he had just the one turnover. Turnovers were an issue last year, and he's been pretty good with those in the preseason and then last night. So just the one. And then he started off shooting the three really well last night. I think he made his first three, and then he missed his last four. But it was a good sign to see him come out and make those threes from the get-go. And so just an overall solid game for him. It was kind of weird. I think he had, looking at the box, he had no assists, which is strange for him. But it was a very low assist game. And then Brown, yeah, he's kind of like, you know, he's kind of Jordan Goodwin-like, you know, from 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago, a 6'3 guard who rebounds, scores, and does a lot of, you know, plays really good defense, drives. He just does a lot of things well. So he's one of the six transfers, and he was the one that stood out last night.
How good of a shooting team can this team be? I mean, the numbers last night were pretty good, 49% shooting. They were above 50% there for the first half. As you look at this group, do you think they have the ability to be a good shooting team?
Yeah, I mean, they have a ton of three-point shooters, and, you know, last night they didn't really get going. I mean, overall as a group, they made 9 of 29, so what's that? It's less than 33%, so that's not really all that great. And Avila led the team in that category, but guys like Ishan Sharma and Brady Dunlap are considered kind of elite shooters, and Sharma had one, Dunlap had zero, so they've got a lot of guys who can shoot, and the hope is that, you know, you at least have one or two out of five or six who are on each night to kind of boost that area. And then the shot chart looked like a Schertz shot chart last night. I mean, everything was beyond three and around the basket. No mid-range jumpers attempted, and that's the way he likes it.
So
as long as you can get those layups and threes, that they should shoot a fairly high percentage.
They're going to play their first three games over the first 8 days of the season, all against teams that they should beat: Southeast Missouri, Chicago State, and then they'll play Lindenwood coming up on Monday. Do you like this, that after going through everything you do in the preseason, going through practice, getting some of those, getting an exhibition in, getting a closed door in, being able to get a bunch of games in the first week of the season?
Yeah, I mean, they've just been waiting so long to play, and you know, it's not like these are grueling games, to be honest with you. SEMA was probably the toughest of the first three opponents, at least on paper. Chicago State's, I think, analytically one of the worst teams in the country, actually. So, you get a bunch of games and find out what you think you do well might not be what you do well, or you might need to improve on it. And you're going to find out real quick playing three games in 8 days. And then, the schedule upticks a little bit from there moving forward. So they have 8 days to work on a lot of things, see what they do in the games, come back, practice, and fix things they don't like. And then, start taking on some tougher opponents.
He is Stu Durando. Again, you can read everything he writes about covering Billikens Athletics on his Substack. Stu on SLU is the Substack. Give a plug for that for our listeners, because I know you do a lot of stuff, game coverage, but beyond that, a good way to stay connected with Billikens Athletics.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's I've been doing it for a year, so I just went into my second year. I cover all SLU sports to some extent, or at least I try, and then the emphasis is on men's basketball. I'll do some women's basketball, but I'll be at all the men's home games and hopefully some of the road games. So it's kind of like just a continuation of my days when I was writing at the Post-Dispatch, but about honestly about five times the amount of writing, just because I can write as much as I want. So it's kind of nice that way.
It's perfect at stewonslew.substack.com. Stu, thank you for taking the time, and hopefully we can continue to chat as the season goes along.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Very good. That's Stu Durando joining us here on KMOX. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. I thought it was a good performance from the Billikens last night. Really liked what I saw. Again, first game of the season, it's not going to be totally clean. I get that. There's going to be things that you get frustrated with. The 15 turnovers, that doesn't bother me all that much. I liked what I saw for the most part. I liked the shooting, and they're going to continue to get better and better. And there's nothing wrong with talking about this team through the lens of having high expectations for the team, as they are openly talking about the fact that they do want to be an NCAA tournament team. They're going to have success in the non-conference. Stu alluded to it. The schedule doesn't allow you that many opportunities for those signature wins in the non-conference that help your resume at the end of the season. If you're in a spot where you're stuck looking for an at-large, they'll play either Minnesota or Stanford at an event that's going to be going on in California right around Thanksgiving. That's basically it. That's it for like name teams. They'll play, they play Santa Clara. Santa Clara tends to be pretty good. They'll play Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon tends to be a good team. But the only opportunity in their non-conference to get that real name victory is going to be when they match up against either Minnesota or Stanford in a game that's going to be coming up right here at the end of November. Again, Billikens back at it on Thursday night. They'll take on Chicago State. As Stu said, Chicago State, one of the worst teams in college basketball. They have been one of the worst teams in college basketball for an extended amount of time. I don't even know if they're in a conference anymore. I know they got kicked out of their league at one point just because they were so non-competitive, and they can't figure it out there, that's for sure. They don't have a whole lot of money at that school. That's a big part of it, but they have a hard time figuring out anything at Chicago State. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Amy Markscores, as we'll find out from her what she thinks about the Blues' win last night and if that might be the start of something. She joins us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You are locked in to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Well, it turns out the St. Louis Blues can win a hockey game. Their long losing streak, which had gone to seven games, came to an end last night when they knock off the Oilers by a 3-2 score, coming back from a 2-0 deficit. We have talked to her before, but now this becomes official and regular. Amy Markscores, Hockey Amy, she is going to join us on a weekly basis, generally here on Tuesdays, as long as schedules work out. And, of course, you hear her on the Chris and Amy show. You also see her hosting a hockey show along with Chris Kerber over on Matrix Midwest. And she joins us now for our weekly conversation. Hi, Amy.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being your dance card is filling up. You're doing a Gas House Gang hit. You're doing the show. We see you on Donnybrook ever. Like, you're just got a million things going on, and you're finding time for a little us at Sports Open Line. So thank you.
Oh, always. It's fun. Sports Open Line, man, it's classic. You can't turn down Sports Open Line.
I like to hear that. That's very good. All right, so they win yesterday. I know I'm here to listen to you, but let me throw this at you and see if you agree or disagree. I thought when watching that game yesterday that everything changed the moment Dvorsky scored that goal. And it was just moments later they scored the equalizer, and I thought they played good enough in the third period and got the final goal. But there was, to me, something just changed when Dvorsky scored the goal, even when they were down. Agree or disagree with that idea?
Okay. So to me, from the outside, I agree with you. I feel that the energy changed, and that, as an old hockey coach used to say, they had a little pep in their step out there on the ice. Now, Jim Montgomery was asked that very thing about the bench. How did it change when 54 gets his first NHL goal? And Jim Montgomery said, on the bench, I don't really think it changed that much. We were confident. Even though we were down, Montgomery said, they had, what was it, three odd man rushes leading up to that point. But man, I don't know. Just obviously the coach knows his team and knows the confidence. But at the very least, maybe we were projecting our own excitement, Matt. But I felt like Enterprise at least got excited, because not just to be in this winless streak, this seven-game winless streak, and to feel like, oh my gosh, here we go again. Like, just the play creation by Connor McDavid going down by two goals. Yeah, he didn't get a shot on goal, but he still got two assists. You feel like, here we go, we're going to lose this game. But to see Dvorsky's goal, to feel that energy, and to watch them come back, I do feel like it switched on that goal.
Yeah, we have heard Jim Montgomery talk so much about Dvorsky's shot, and not taking anything away from what we see in the preseason, but I thought, I was watching the game on TV, and the way FanDuel presented it on the replay was fantastic, because they had the high camera looking across the ice, and you saw him come off the face-off and then circle around and create a little bit of space and get open on the right wing, and then takes the pass and scores. But that was, Amy, that's a thing of beauty right there. That is a shot that's a weapon. Yeah. And I hope that he never spends another day this year not at the NHL level, because you can use that.
Oh my gosh. To go bar down on a one-timer for your first NHL goal, that's a little razzle-dazzle. I mean, that's just flashy and it's fun. And after the game in the locker room, Dvorsky said, well, I don't care if I kicked it in. I'm just glad I got my first goal. But you got to feel good. And not only that, I'm really glad you brought up the faceoff win. Dvorsky wins that faceoff. He's killing it in the faceoff circle, by the way. He wins that faceoff, drops it to Robert Thomas. Thomas, who is that play creator, that driver, passes to Justin Falk, who has a great pass for the one-timer back to Dvorsky. It was so clean. It was such a clear cycle of the puck, controlling on the power play, which we haven't seen. Everything has looked kind of messy and kind of disorganized, and this execution was so crisp. I feel like that was huge. Other points of the game that I thought really injected the team with excitement, you saw, finally, some big saves by Jordan Binnington. Mm-hmm. He made some big saves, just sliding across the crease to cover. And I think that gives a level of confidence, even if it's subconscious, to the guys playing in front of them that I think is palpable.
Yeah, so now the big question is, because we're sitting here, and I've been talking to you for 10 minutes now, and it seems like everything is, honey and roses when it comes to this Blues team. It's not. They've still lost seven of their last eight. The question is going to be, can they build off this? And they were even building towards this, because their two performances leading into this, while they were losses, they clearly played better against Vancouver and better against Columbus. But can that ramp keep going? Like, it feels like, I know it's still early on in the season, Amy, but it feels like this is kind of a crossroads moment for this team.
Yeah, they're going to have to build on it. So before the game, I said, you know what the 7-game winless streak feels like? It feels like when you have the flu and you've just been sick for several days and you feel like you'll never feel normal again. Like, this is your new reality. That's how it felt. I mean, it just felt impossible to score, impossible to win. But there's so many things that went right. I mean, I was excited to see that first power play unit. We already brought up the Dvorsky goal on the power play, but I was excited to see it because you have Dvorsky and Snuggerud on that line, which I feel like is the enthusiasm of youth. So you have that, but also big saves from Binnington. You get Robert Thomas back, Matt. What a difference, right, to see this team with and without their best player. So you get Robert Thomas back, who, by the way, scores right after that power play with about a minute left in the period. And he was kind of laughing afterwards because it was kind of a lucky bounce. The way he just happened to be in the right position after it hits off the end boards, he slaps it behind the goalie, it bounces off the goalie and in. And I was thinking about that. I think that was the first good bounce the Blues have had all season. That's the first good bounce. But the thing is, you have to put yourself in the right position to get those good bounces and benefit from them, because we talked about the bad bounces the Blues had had, but one reason they had so many bad bounces is because they were playing so poorly. When you have a chance to clear the zone and you don't clear the zone, when you have a messy breakout and you have a turnover in the neutral zone, when you have a sloppy pass and you can't sustain pressure in the offensive zone, it's another turnover. All of those are poor plays that lead to an opportunity or an environment where you can be a victim of a bad bounce. So I, like you said, we have to be careful. It's one win, right? Yeah. out of 8 games, but so many things that were going wrong were going right. And I think it's totally valid to be excited and build on that.
And puck luck favors the team that's playing with excitement and the team that's doing the small things right. So you're right. I mean, that seemed like a lucky goal for Thomas, but I don't think it's a coincidence that it happens 2 minutes after Dvorsky scores that goal. And we noticed the added enthusiasm at that point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Another thing, I feel like in the offensive zone, for a lot of games, the Blues weren't able to find those seam passes, right? It was just, they were just hitting off guys, just missing the mark, or even Colton Parayko for a while, I feel like, was not able to get those shots through. And we saw 55 with the big windup from the blue line. And Pew Suter was Johnny on the spot to knock in that rebound. And that was the game-winning goal that for that 3-2 victory. And when you look at Pew Suter and the way he plays, a lot of credit to him. Not only is he just such a smart player, defensive forward, but he's not big like Toropchenko. He's not big like Jake Neighbors. So as Jim Montgomery pointed out, for him to be in front of the net and get those rebounds, he can't plant himself there because he can't hold his ground. He's just not big enough. It's all about timing for him and moving and reading the play. And I think it was just a really, really smart play for him to be in that right spot in the low slot at the right time.
When they were losing games and losing them in one-sided fashion, the defense just was not there. And Montgomery said multiple times that he feels like the defense can get cleaned up very quickly. Mm-hmm. I thought a lot of times we judge, and I know when I say we, I'm including Montgomery in this, it feels like defensively the team is being judged on how many, you know, high percentage chances they're giving up, and it didn't feel like they gave up as many last night either.
Yeah, no, it really didn't, and it was interesting because some of the writers after the game were asking Montgomery, like, hey, you kind of did a good job with McDavid, no shots on goal for McDavid. And Montgomery said, well, you know, trying to shut down McDavid is like shutting down Michael Jordan. You're lucky if you limit him to 30 points. And McDavid had 2 assists, no shots on goal. But what I like was that approach, because the defensive pairing we saw that we've been seeing recently is Broberg and Parayko. Remember, they started the season with Fowler and Parayko. But Broberg and Parayko, Fowler and Falk, I think that's worked really well. And I think part of not giving up those grade A chances, yes, is on your defensive pairing, those guys playing smart. The team was watching a lot of videos, specifically Broberg and Parayko, on McDavid. Montgomery calls him the MDM, the most dangerous man, and he put the W afterwards for McDavid, which would be the most dangerous man in the world because of how good he is. And Broberg was up to that challenge. So, yes, the defenseman, but they also said all five guys have to play defense. They just have to. And having your forwards connecting and organized rather than disconnecting and disorganized, that is going to help limit those opportunities for breakdowns at the blue line as well. And so I really like the way forwards, like, you know, Jordan Kyrou, were back-checking. You just got to be smart. It's got to be five guys.
We're talking with Amy Marks. Of course, we're going to do this every Tuesday, talk all things Blues hockey. Amy, before we get you out of here, of course, people can hear you every day during the Chris and Amy show from 9 to noon, along with Chris Ranji. But for those who have not yet to tune in, tell our listeners where they can see you on TV with the show that you're doing alongside of Chris Kerber.
Yeah, it's Offside Hockey with Kerbs and Amy. So Chris Kerber and I, every Wednesday, 6 p.m. on Matrix Midwest. It's that affiliate channel of KMOV. So Matrix Midwest is channel 32 over the air, channel 6 if you have Spectrum, or you can download the Matrix Midwest app and stream it live.
Very good. Amy, thank you for doing this. I look forward to talking hockey with you every week.
Me too, Matt. Thank you.
Awesome. That's Amy Marks, of course, joining us. Hockey Amy, the Hockey Amy segment each week. We need to get that sponsored. Hockey Amy, brought to you by, I don't know, we'll figure it out. If you want to sponsor the Hockey Amy segment, just find me and I'll get you connected to the correct individuals, and we can probably make something happen for you. All right, now we will take a break. In our second hour today, we'll probably talk a little City SC. We haven't gotten into yet the new sporting director being hired. I'll be honest, like, bluntly, I can't evaluate this this hiring, but I we'll try to touch on it a little bit. But we'll also do a lot of baseball in the final hour of the program as well. More coming up, though. We're not to the second hour quite yet. We're rolling on in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We are wrapping up hour number one of the program. Hour number two, we're going to do pretty much nothing but baseball from 7 to about 7:30, and then Dale Shilley is going to join us at 7:35, and we're going to talk through the decision the city just made on who their next sporting director is going to be, so that's all going to be coming up. Yesterday, we only had a very short show because we were done for Billikens basketball, so this is the first show that we've done, a first full two-hour show since Halloween. Kyle Sixta, I've got a little bit of a beef when it comes to Halloween.
Let's hear it.
I have an issue with the people who decorate for Halloween, like their house is decorated, they got stuff all over the place, but then they've got the light turned off on trick-or-treating time.
That's
I
wrong.
Feel like there is a social contract that if you have Halloween decorations up, at the very least, you have to set out the bowl on the front porch.
100%. The bare minimum. You set out the bowl, take one piece, take two pieces of candy, whatever it is. That's the bare minimum if you're going to go all out.
You can't have a house that's done up and then not have trick-or-treating there.
Very contradictory.
Yes. So that bothered me because we were not at our home. We left the bowl out. We're not really, we didn't even leave a note. People could take as much candy as they wanted. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the trick-or-treaters did a nice job. How was your Halloween?
My Halloween was great. I went home, visited my parents. My dad is crazy on Halloween. I don't know if I've told you this before, but he dresses up as Michael Myers.
Okay.
And scares kids.
Oh, that's good.
He would put on the mask, and he would go on the side of the house. And as kids would come up and trick-or-treat, he would scare them right as they turned around to leave. Screams, like, these kids were freaked out. And my dad has kind of gained a reputation of he's going to scare you. So, like, people are cautious coming to our house this year.
Does he do it in different ways? Is it the same thing every year? Does
no,
he kind of change
different.
It up?
So, this was the first time he did this. Last year, from what I heard, I wasn't there last year. He pretended to be a dummy that was holding the bowl that said, take one piece of candy, please. And if you took more than one, he scared you.
Oh, that's
good.
So,
little bit of justice for taking more than one.
That's good.
Yeah.
There we have somebody who has a Michael Myers statue in our, not statue, but like a full-sized, whatever you would call it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It looks really lifelike, and we'll like look at it like, is there a real person there? And there's not, but that's last year's one. That's pretty good.
It was fun.
Yeah. He has to be able to be really still to pull off the not a real person.
He does.
All right. So your dad's into Halloween, obviously.
Very much so.
Okay. Very good. Hour number two of the program coming up after the 7 o'clock news. Again, we're going to do all baseball through the first half hour. Today was an interesting day. There's been a number of opt-outs, some opt-ins. We're starting to get closer to some of these actual real decisions that are going to be made this offseason. So we're going to talk through that. We'll talk Cardinals baseball. We'll talk Major League Baseball. And then Dale Shilley will join us at about 7:35. We got a lot coming up in the 7 o'clock hour right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Into the 7 o'clock hour we go. A lot of baseball talk this hour. We just heard from Michael Calhoun. He was talking about the tax credits given in Missouri and how Ted Lasso was being filmed in the state of Missouri. Michael, do we know how much of Ted Lasso's upcoming season was filmed in Missouri?
Well, I think that kind of depends on their timeline, the storyline, because he comes home, right?
Yes, but I think he then goes and coaches a women's team back wherever they're at. What's the name? I love Ted Lasso. I can't think of the name of the team right now.
Oh my gosh.
What am I doing?
What
am I doing? We're all Googling at the second. Ted Lasso is an all-time top 10 team for me. I think he goes back there to coach the women's team is from what I understand is the plot line.
That's a great stadium.
Yeah.
So, that they just built on the riverfront and part of the, the revitalization of Kansas City there. It's really cool, though. You know, one of my favorite movies is Up in the Air, in part because I love to go through and, you know, go, hey, that's the Bank of America building. Hey, that's the Spire yeah. building. Hey, that's whatever high school. But
AFC Richmond, by the way. AFC Richmond. There you
that's
go.
One of those where once you say it,
yeah, so like, of course it go, is.
Yeah,
but course. It's been a few years since the last season of Ted Lasso. Do you watch Ted Lasso?
Or I
you,
do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They tried to like almost do another Ted Lasso thing with the Hulu show that was inspired by Eli Manning's thing.
Is that Glenn Powell show?
Yeah. He's a football player who like goes into disguise. And Chad Powers, that's the name of the show.
Chad Powers. See, I've seen so many billboards and like signs for that show, and I'm like, this is the most promoted show I know. I have no idea what it's about.
I watched it. It's already done. It was a six episode first season. And, you know, Ted Lasso was based upon commercials that they did on NBC mm-hmm. for the English Premier League that ran during NFL games. So what they did here was Eli Manning has like an ESPN Plus show, Eli's Places, and he actually, Eli Manning at one point went into full disguise and went to Penn State and did a tryout, like he was trying to be a walk-on. And he was awesome, but he looked funny. He had the long hair. He had everything. Yeah. And that video clip ended up going viral. So then they made the TV show because that's done by Omaha Productions, which is Peyton and Eli's production company.
I got to say the best, streaming TV show that's based on sports has got to be Letterkenny.
I have not ever watched it.
You haven't watched Letterkenny?
I have not watched Letterkenny.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
Got to put that
it's
on my
hilarious.
List.
Hilarious. Hockey? Yeah.
What service is that on?
It's on Hulu.
Okay. All right.
It began in Canada, was like their big sitcom there, and everybody here loved it. So then Hulu picked it up and like took over the production and everything. But
I'm going to have to watch that.
Oh, that's great.
All right. So now we need to get shows like that in the St. Louis area.
We do. Filmed. What's the St. Louis culture that we can like export?
Not to go all political here, but I think that's part of what we as a city struggle with. When you think about the Midwest cities that are thriving, they have something. When you think about Nashville, you think about music. I mean, you and I, Michael, have talked about this off the air. We do not utilize the riverfront as much as we should.
All the buildings have their exhaust fans facing
yeah,
the riverfront.
But part of the thing here to help St. Louis is we do have to find that identity. And the identity can't just be that there's this big metal thing on the riverfront that's pretty cool.
What was the, was it Wings? Well, there was some classic TV show, classic from, you know, like early 90s. It was
John Larroquette show?
Yes, yeah. The John Larroquette show. Thank you.
Yeah, he was he ran the downtown St. Louis bus station.
That's right. And, I knew it had to do with transportation.
I'm going to get the name wrong. It's either Chi McBride or Chai McBride. C-H-I McBride. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. He's been in a lot of stuff. Really good actor. He was the janitor in that show, which was awesome.
Wow.
Like, you go look at the cast, and it was a really, really good cast.
Something else I think that flies under the radar is, I actually haven't watched much of it, but Superstore.
Yeah.
Based in a Walmart type of big box store in St. Louis.
Is it real? I didn't know
and
that.
And I've seen like three episodes.
Okay.
And so they do drop in, like the store manager's like, I have a lunch in Clayton I have to get to or something like that.
Okay.
So,
I've not seen that.
That was a big show on NBC, so that was good for St. Louis.
Yeah, isn't David Harbour's going to be doing a show that's supposedly based in St.
Really?
Louis? I think it's like an HBO show.
But that'll be
great. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
That's Michael Calhoun talking a little St. Louis stuff. Ted Lasso. Anytime I can bring up Ted Lasso, I jump at the opportunity to do so, even though I could not remember that it was AFC Richmond. But I'm looking forward to the next season of Ted Lasso. Let's jump. You know what? We'll take an early break here because that way we can have kind of a long, extended baseball conversation. So we'll break right now. We'll come back. If you want to chime in, by the way, on anything Cardinals related, to me, for whatever reason, today kind of feels like the day where this offseason is really starting to get going. And there was a lot of moves made today, and not by the Cardinals, but a lot of moves made today with players being players opting into contracts, players opting out of contracts. Also, we talked about this a little bit on Rush Hour Sports, but I'll bring it back up. The ridiculousness of something that happened with one of the biggest name players on the Milwaukee Brewers and how it represents something that's kind of wrong with baseball overall. So if you want to chime in on the baseball conversation, you can do so. We'll take phone calls, text messages, tweets, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. If you're watching on the video stream, we can address those comments as well. We're back with more coming up in just a moment. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Fun. I hadn't heard that Mike Grimm one. So many great names have come through here at KMOX. It's just sometimes it's crazy to think about that. It's been really cool, all these 100-year celebration spots that you're hearing and some voices from the past, which are awesome. Earlier in that break, we heard a lot from the Blues winning the Stanley Cup. Just really, really cool stuff. And it reminds you, not that we need to be reminded here at KMOX, but it's a reminder of what this station is, what it has been, what it continues to be. Welcome back in. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can just leave a comment in the chat. You know, so one of our common commenters on the video chat, I think somewhat sarcastically, keeps talking about, oh, well, I guess we're going to have to be paying attention to the Cardinals minor leagues. That's where stuff's going to be happening. If you, with all due respect to everything's happening with the Cardinals organization right now, I think if you take a step back and just look at the team from this past year, while they left a lot to be desired, where they didn't win as many games as you would like them to win, there were still some very compelling things that happened with the 2025 St. Louis Cardinals. And you can choose to spend your time however you want to choose to spend your time. It's not my job to tell you that you're right or wrong. But if you were so upset about the fact that John Mozeliak was still around, if you were so upset about the fact that Oliver Marmol is the Cardinals manager that you just decided to take a step back and not even really pay attention to what was going on, you missed some good stuff. Individually, you missed some good stuff. Team wasn't good enough. I'm not trying to put lipstick on a pig right here. That's not what I'm doing. It was a below 500 season. They may have been an above 500 team if they didn't sell at the deadline. Although I also think the impact of selling at the deadline maybe was not as much as we may want to say it is, because quite honestly, the bullpen pieces that stepped into those more high leverage roles after the deadline, they all did a really nice job. The only time you really started to run into trouble in that area was when those guys were down and then you had to go to that next group, and that next group really struggled. Like, okay, so here's a message that just came in. Said, there was nothing good about last year, dude. Really? You don't think there was anything good? You don't think there was anything good about the 2025 Cardinals? Hey, Mason Wynn just won a gold glove. Watching him play defense every day, that was a whole lot of fun. You don't think that was good? You don't think watching Matthew Liberatore transform from being a reliever to moving into a starter's role and just watching that evolution, and there's still something left to be desired there, you don't think that was good? You don't think watching Brendan Donovan, especially when he was healthy, playing at all-star level, you don't think that was good? You don't think it was fun when Victor Scott did crazy things in the outfield defensively? Scott had a terrible offensive season, but that doesn't take away from what he did from a defensive standpoint. You don't think it was good that Matt Swanson took a big step forward? You don't think it was good that Riley O'Brien took a big step forward? You don't think any of these things were good? Like, that's just being short-sighted, right? That's not being real about the things that have to happen for this team to get back to the level of competing for where we want to see this team competing. We want to see this team competing for playoff spots, for division championships, for league championships, and for World Series. There's nothing wrong with setting the expectations at that place for this team moving forward. And they did not meet those goals. They did not win enough games this past year. But if we're going to take the Ricky Bobby approach to it, you're being short-sighted. And you got your head up, you're you-know-what. If you can't acknowledge the fact that there were some good things that happened this year. And that's where this club is at. You can move forward with some of these guys. And you know what? There was also value in learning that maybe there's some of these guys you can't trust. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Jordan Walker moving forward. I don't, but I feel a whole lot worse about Jordan Walker right now than I do this time last year. I do. He's still really young. He still has the pieces to turn into a very compelling baseball player. But I think we learned this past year that he can't be guaranteed of anything going into spring training next year. So there was value. There was value in some things. And I am not going to get into an argument about whether or not the value was worth it or not. If all you care about is the end wins and losses, why do you watch a TV show? Why do you watch a TV show? Watch the first episode, watch the last episode. Everything that happens in between doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter. If that's the approach that you're going to take, that nothing that happened in the baseball season last year mattered, nothing was good because it didn't result in enough victories, I don't know what to tell you because I think that's an asinine statement, to be perfectly honest with you. Text message said, month of May was the Cards' highlight reel. It was a great month. Yeah, it was. In some ways, it was actually not so good because it reeled people like me into thinking the team was better than they actually were. But it was a lot of fun in the moment, and you could start to kind of squint and see what the team could be. So in the moment, that was good. I think I look back personally, and I say I got sucked in by that. And I wasn't alone on that. But I don't have a problem telling you when I get sucked in by things. I got sucked in by the month of May, and I thought that it might continue on. And really, if you look at what the team did from June on, it was not good. But from an individual standpoint, you could go to the ballpark on any given night and see something pretty special happen. Whether the team won or lost that night, you could see something special happen. Real quick, I mentioned this during Rush Hour Sports today. I want to bring this back up for folks who maybe were not with us then. I get frustrated when baseball owners and baseball front offices make decisions that can have a negative impact on the team, and they're doing it with the motivation of a very small amount of money. Just as I was frustrated with the Cardinals last year, that they went to arbitration with Brendan Donovan over I think it was $800,000. I think I have that right. If that wasn't $800,000, it was somewhere in that neighborhood. Like, to me, walking into a room for arbitration and telling Brendan Donovan what you don't like about him and why he doesn't deserve to earn $800,000 more than what you want to pay him, I didn't think that was worth it. I thought it was worth $800,000 to avoid that moment. The Milwaukee Brewers, and I have a hard time being overly critical of the Brewers because their track record of doing things at a really high level and being smarter than just about every single thing that they do. It turns into gold, seemingly. But today, they declined an option on catcher William Contreras to save less than $1 million. So they declined the option. It was a $12 million option. Instead, he'll go through the arbitration process. In the arbitration process, the projected number for him is $11.1 million. There was also a $100,000 buyout. So we'll see what the numbers are eventually. But they turned down an option. They're making him make less money for $800,000, and now they may end up going to arbitration with him. Those sort of things have to stop in baseball. They just do. Those are healthy organizations don't do those things. And it's funny when I'm talking about the Brewers, who seem like maybe the healthiest organization out there because they get more out of what they have than just about anybody. But I see that and I go, what are they doing? This is a guy that you want to build around. This is one of the key members of your team. And you're going to make him take a pay cut for less than $1 million because you can. My thought process has always been, if you're somebody who signs a contract in your arbitration years and has options on it, well, the options blow out arbitration. So if a team doesn't pick up your option, then you um, they essentially become free agents, like non-tendering. I don't think what the Brewers did today should be allowed. We'll get to Dale Schilling in just a second, but for Dedley, who I was talking to earlier, said that he doesn't think that I was born near here, so I don't get it. I was born here. I was born in St. Louis. I lived in St. Louis my entire young life until I went to college. I was gone for a little while, and I came back. So, no, I am from St. Louis, proud of being from St. Louis, and that has nothing to do with my point on all of this. I can just look at things and say, you know what? Wins and losses are the most important thing. Everything that you need to do needs to be for eventual wins and losses. But there are other things that can happen that can help lead to future wins and losses. And did they accomplish as much as they would have liked to have accomplished this year and that and setting some things up for the future? I would bet that there's maybe a few more questions left to be answered than they would have liked going into the year. But it was not a fruitless season by any stretch of the mind. We will take a break, and when we come back, we are going to talk with Dale Schilling. So City SC has a new sporting director coming in. What does that what should we know about this guy? Like, I'm not the person to break this thing down, but it is somebody with an MLS track record, and it's also somebody, based off what I've read, who might be changing the trajectory of the way the team is played, really, or the way the team plays the game. Since Lutz Pfannenstiel was brought in, no matter who was the head coach, they had a system that was in place. And what I want to know is that system going to be drastically different? Is the type of players they want to bring in going to be drastically different? Is it going to look different on the field based off the vision of the sporting director? We're going to talk with Dale Schilling, and hopefully we'll get a little clarity on the situation. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. So I always try to admit when there's things that are going on that I want to talk about that I don't have the expertise to speak intelligently on, and this would be one of those things. City SC has appointed Corey Ray as their next sporting director. I have a hard time evaluating somebody taking over a sporting director job, looking at their past and knowing what it might mean for City moving forward, but it's obviously a very big deal and a very big job. And this organization at a crossroads right now, and this hiring is going to point them in whatever direction they are going to go moving forward. And who better to speak intelligently about this than somebody that you listen to on the Y98 City broadcast. And he's also the academy director over at City. He is our good friend, Dale Schilling. Dale, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
I'm good. I hope I can live up to the questions and the expectations.
I'm confident that you can. And let's just start with this. What was your initial feeling when you heard that it was Corey Ray who was getting the job?
Well, at first I had to do a little digging and get on the phone and try to find some things out, and had the opportunity to meet him. And I feel really good about where he's at, his experience with the league and with the building of rosters and putting teams together. So my initial thoughts are positive. I like what I hear, and I like my first impression.
How important is that? Because that seems to be something that a spotlight is really being put on right now, that he has a lot of experience building in MLS as opposed to building European teams or teams in other areas. Why is it so important that a guy who is familiar with this league and what it takes to win this league is somebody who's going to run this team?
Yeah, it's just it's a huge advantage. When you talk to the guys and the team that have come over from Europe, they talk about the travel, they talk about the schedule, they talk about the time of year. Those are all some things that you can hear it, and you can have an understanding that it's out there and it's a problem. But until you live it, or you try to build rosters that have, you know, certain players on it that have to go through that experience for the first time, it's difficult. And that's just one example of you know, some of the nuances of the MLS and playing professional soccer in this country have. There's a number of them. And to have somebody that's been in the environment, been in the league, knows the ins and outs and the ups and downs and the nooks and crannies is really important. It was really evident when I spoke to Corey, just that he's got experience. He's been there. He knew exactly some of the things I was referring to in our, you know, short discussion. It didn't take an explanation. So it was, you feel like that you're starting a couple steps ahead.
I'm guessing a lot of people are listening to this, and one of the first questions that comes to their mind is, what is so different about MLS when comparing to professional teams and professional leagues in Europe, in South America, in other parts of our world?
I would say just the way the game's played. It's more tactical. It's in Europe, let's say, it's more tactical. The pace, it's going to sound strange, the pace can be a little bit less. Even though the game is highly technical and skilled, and their understanding is, you know, far beyond where we are currently. But I think that lends itself to a more back and forth transitional game that we have here in the States. So, you know, that'd be one of the things, just dealing with a little bit different style of play, a mixture of, you know, different styles and systems and the way of playing from, you know, South Americans, Central Americans, and then some Europeans and Americans. It's just a melting pot and a little bit different than what you see, say, over in Europe.
He's been part of some organizations that have a lot of success. He also does have a year in this role at another MLS team. How important is it that even if it was just 1 year that he's basically been in this seat before?
It's such a huge thing. The leadership piece of pulling the sporting department, the sporting department together into a unified group across the different levels, from the academy to City 2 to the first team. When you talk about you know, sustainability and being able to put something together and carry it out over the years, being able to lead a group is really important. And again, I think having that experience and being through it both as, you know, the second in command and the one in command, I think is it's important. It's a feather in his cap.
We are talking with Dale Shilley, getting his thoughts on the hiring of Corey Ray. He is the next sporting director for City SC. Throughout the entire existence of this organization, there have been basic principles that have basically been the same. The way that Lutz built the team, and whether it was Bradley or Hackworth or Melberg or Critchley most recently, even though they all put their own spin on things, there were some things that were kind of just the base system. Is that going to change, do you think, with Corey Ray?
I don't know. I mean, the club has, you know, an identity that we've gotten a little bit away from, but it's easy enough to come back towards. But I don't have an indication from Corey as to, you know, is that where it's going to go? Listening to him talk and having the interaction that I had with him, I have a feeling he's going to call the right people together from the sporting department, have a conversation and get consensus and buy-in from everybody to make sure that all of us are on the same page and we're pulling in the same direction. You know, just talking to him, alignment, buy-in, culture, all of those things are prevalent in the way that he appears to lead. So I would say that, you know, we'll land somewhere and then we'll all pull in the same direction. My gut says it'll be similar to where we started.
Okay, that's really good to know. What are the obviously you still got to figure out who the coach is going to be, but even beyond that big picture type thing, you know, a number of players had options picked up. There were some players who didn't have options picked up, but the door hasn't been closed on them being part of this team moving forward. When he starts this job, and I know with visa issues and everything, it's not going to be until later on this month, but how much work is he going to have right at the beginning of his tenure?
Yeah, overwhelming. You know, just the time of year, it's almost like he would have less work to do if he would have got here in late January, early February. But, you know, he's here at the tail end of the season where there's a lot of work yet to be done. So, yeah, he's drowning right now, I'm sure, with trying to figure out how to prioritize. And obviously the first team and the head coach becomes, you know, I would assume his priority. And yeah, I can't even imagine what he sees on his plate right now, knowing that he knows more about what he's missing than I do. Because of his experience and where he's been, you know, in the different sporting departments in Toronto, Columbus, and Montreal. So, yeah, he is, I'm sure his head's spinning right now.
When Lutz was let go, one of the quotes that a lot of people made a big deal out of, and maybe more so than should have been, was a quote at one point came out that, you know, the hope was to have a new sporting director in place by the time next season started. And everybody was like, what in the world are you talking about? This has got to be a job that gets filled ASAP. Well, it gets filled, as you said, right at the tail end of the season. Basically, the entire offseason is in front of us. How key is it that he does get here at this point, even if his plate might be a little bit more full than if he got here in a couple months? Does this do things in terms of, you're not punting on next season? Like, he is able to come in and have almost a full off season putting this thing together?
Yeah, I mean, today we had a series of meetings, and you know, he's had a chance to you know, sit down with a number of key people in the department and in the organization, and important that you know, I know that has seen some players. I don't want to say he's met with players, but I know that he has crossed paths with some players, knew who they were. Those are important steps. I mean, you've got to start someplace. And right now is as good a time as any. So, yeah, I think it's huge that he gets this bit of time to organize and to start making some headway in for next year. He does not seem the guy that wants to sit and wait and observe. I think he recognizes the situation and how important moving now is.
I don't mean to be a let's pat ourselves on the back kind of guy, but the facility is incredible. It's world class. I remember being over there when the U.S. men's national team was in training, and they were all talking about how the facility, anybody who wanted to build one, they would just replicate what City did. Does the infrastructure, even going to the buildings and the setup, does that infrastructure that already exists help be able to make this job an appealing one?
Oh, for sure, because you don't want to just be the sporting director for the first team. You know, in other words, you don't want to be just a general manager for the first team. He wants to run the department. He wants to run it from the under 14 academy team up through the first team and create that alignment and that process of players coming in at an age and being able to move on into the stadium. The facility helps make that all possible. As a matter of fact, part of the discussion I had with them was, I can't even imagine trying to integrate an academy with the academy being off-site from the first team and the second team. So the opportunity that we have by having the facility that we have and putting everybody under one roof is huge. Very appealing for a sporting director.
Okay, so finishing you up with this, we're talking with Dale Shilley. I think people generally have an understanding when teams are in rebuilds, when teams are not playing the way that they would like to play. Like, we understand when looking at the St. Louis Cardinals that for them to get back to being a team that's competing at the highest level, it's going to probably be a few years down the road. I don't think people are as understanding and of how long it can take in MLS. So the team was not very good this year. How quickly can you turn things around and be a very, very competitive team?
I would say within the year. Okay. I mean, this is, you know, the league has been built on parity. The league is set up to help teams rebuild and start afresh. If you look at Nashville last year, they finished the league, if I'm not mistaken, in 11th place out of the playoffs. And this year they finished, you know, in the top, not in the top four, but just outside the top four, And now they're in a playoff with Miami. They have one game left. They have to go to Miami to move on to the next round. Cincinnati had similar situations a couple years ago when they won the Wooden Spoon for the worst record in the league, ended up in the playoffs the next year. Not to raise the expectations, not to raise to create false hope for fans, but it can happen in this league.
So I can't say that Dale Shilley is predicting that this team is going to win the conference next year?
No, I would say that's not the case, or else I won't get on a late call with you.
All right. Very, very good. Dale, thank you. I know this was last minute. I wanted to talk about this. Right. I knew I couldn't talk about it intelligently, so thank you for picking me up.
No, I appreciate the opportunity, and looking forward to having a couple more of these.
Awesome. Very good. That's Dale Shilley, of course. Part of the broadcast on Y98 during the year, and then his day job. He's the academy director over at City SC. He does a bunch of other stuff, too. He's very busy, and appreciate him being able to share with us some of his thoughts on just just what it's going to look like. I'm rooting for the guy, right? I am very much rooting for him. I believe the press conference is going to be tomorrow afternoon to introduce him. So we'll have a little bit more to talk about tomorrow on this show when we hear from Ray on what he thinks. But look, bottom line here, it is very clear that this organization made the decision that they were going to most prioritize bringing someone in with MLS experience. And that's fine because that's the league you're playing in. You are trying to win. And we see it in other sports sometimes. And when you try to start comparing soccer to other sports, a lot of times something gets lost in there. But when you bring people in who don't have experience in your league, it's a gamble. It's a crapshoot. You don't know if it's always going to work. And not that this is guaranteed to work, but this guy knows the league. And that's going to be, again, I thought Lutz did a nice job. Him hiring Olaf Melberg was a terrible decision. And at the end of the day, that's the decision that came back to bite him. Firing Bradley Carnell was probably a bad decision as well. I think we can retroactively look back and say, well, would have you been better off if you would have given Carnell a little bit more time? And they probably would be. The path would have been different. But also, look, I've just heard some rumblings about some stuff going on behind closed doors. I think Carnell was ruffling some feathers. He might have been on that path no matter what to not being there. That all that stuff really doesn't matter at this point. What does matter is Corey Ray's coming in, and he's got a big job in front of him because there are expectations. This team is still relatively new, but there are expectations for City moving forward. And you just think about it now. Man, the decision makers across St. Louis, because Doug Armstrong, although he's still going to be in the organization, he's still going to be part of the decision-making process. Alex Steen is moving into that role. Chaim Bloom with the Cardinals. Now Corey Ray with City SC. There are a lot of big-time decision makers that are relatively early on in their tenures with the respective teams. Okay, we will take a break and we'll come back and we are going to wrap up the program for the night. Don't go anywhere. You are locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left in the program. We've got our Gas House Gang replay, which will be coming up after the 8 o'clock news. My name's Matt Pauley. Non-sports thing here in the final couple minutes of the show. Kyle Sixta, when you were a child and you were losing teeth, did your parents like help when the tooth was really, really loose? Or did you just take care of it yourself?
I think they helped. I think so.
Okay. So my wife, when she was little, I guess her dad generally helped her. I don't think my parents ever helped me with a loose tooth. I think when it was time for them to come out, I took care of it.
You were on your own.
Yeah.
Huh.
So my daughter, who is six, she's at the period where she's losing teeth. Her first tooth was coming out, and my wife had me like assist with it. Like it was a normal thing, and it was kind of weird to me because that's not how I grew up, but whatever. So I helped her, and then I was thinking, I'm like, is this what it's going to be now? Is just like the expectation's going to be that every time she has a super loose tooth, dad's going to have to come help. Well, she had a super loose tooth yesterday. She came to me. I kind of wiggled. I said, you know what? It's not quite ready. Not quite ready to go. And then she went to school today. She lost the tooth at school at lunchtime when she was eating. So I feel like I'm now off the hook moving forward, that she's done it on her own. I don't have to help anymore.
I think you're good. And if it comes down to it, maybe you tie the rope around the doorknob. And
she did. So they gave her like a little plastic thing to take it home in that was, you know, shaped like a tooth. She was trying to show everybody the tooth because she's six. And she dropped it at one point and couldn't find it. And I guess the entire class got on their hands and knees looking for said tooth. And one of the young boys in her class found it, picked it up. I found the tooth.
There we go.
So very sanitary things going on inside of the first grade classroom with my daughter. I don't mean to bore people with conversations about my kid, but her dropping the tooth is very on point. It's what I would expect. Which is okay. All right, that is it for a Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, 5 o'clock for Rush Hour, and then Sports Open Line after that here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.